It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. Today, he joins us by Skype. This week, a judge ruled that private schools will still not get money that was set aside for them in last year's state budget. That's due to a pending lawsuit by public schools against the state. The budget calls for private schools to get $2.5 million as reimbursement for things the state requires, like fire drills. But public schools say the money violates a constitutional ban on public money for private schools. What do you think, Jack?
Well, I think it's absolutely clear that the Constitution says you can't spend public money on private schools. In fact, there was a referendum in the early 1970s in Michigan to amend the Constitution to allow the state to do that, and people decisively rejected it. But this, of course, will be appealed. It's conceivable, I suppose, it could go beyond the state, but it'll be very interesting to see how the state Supreme Court rules on this when it eventually gets to them. Now, Judge Cynthia Stevens, who this is not a permanent ruling in her courtroom, she is going to hear arguments in the case on July 15th, but for right now, she stayed any attempt to spend public money on private schools, so we'll just have to see how this plays out.
Speaking of schools, Attorney General Bill Schuette says the Michigan school superintendent can't cut off dollars to districts with American Indian mascots or logos. Critics of schools with Indian mascots say they create a hostile environment and are culturally insensitive. Superintendent Brian Whiston proposed cutting up to 10% of a district's yearly payments if he had authority. But Schuette says there's no rule or portion of the school code that lets the superintendent keep money from schools as a penalty for their mascot. What do you think about Schuette's opinion, Jack?
Well, the Attorney General is absolutely right. In fact, Brian Whiston later said, well, he's right about that, that he doesn't have the authority to withhold that money. And it just has to be a case, I guess, of persuasion. This is not a Michigan case, but you think of the Cleveland Indians baseball teams who've been the Indians forever, and people are used to that. It's a question of cultural sensitivity, and it may be on a district-to-district basis. But at any rate, for now, it's pretty clear you can't cut off their money if you don't like their mascot.
Jack, back in May, President Trump nominated Michigan Supreme Court Justice Joan Larson to fill a seat on the U.S. Court of Appeals. Today, Larson is still waiting for the Senate Judiciary Committee to take up her nomination. The Detroit News reports that Michigan Senators Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters are still reviewing Larson's nomination materials. Critics say Stabenow and Peters are dragging their feet for political reasons, though the Detroit News says neither have publicly raised concerns about Larson. What's it going to take to get Larson confirmed?
Well, I think the Republicans are protesting a little bit too much. These nominations traditionally take time, and some of President Obama and President Clinton's nominees were held up by Republican senators for more than a year. It's only been 2 months, less than 2 months. And I think that the Republicans blundered, the White House blundered, because they didn't go through the normal formality of asking Michigan's two Democratic senators about this nomination. And so they're taking their time doing due diligence. But Judge Larson is clearly highly qualified for this, whatever you think of her political opinions. And I anticipate that eventually she'll be confirmed. But in a lot of cases, it's taken a lot longer than 2 months.
And last week, we found out that after 65 years, Henry the Hatter, one of Detroit's most iconic stores, will have to shutter its location on Broadway Street. The owner, Paul Wasserman, says he lost his lease. This week, Crain's Detroit Business reported that several real estate brokers have reached out to Wasserman, and he has some good leads on other locations in the city. Jack, this story has sparked a lot of conversation about the resurgence of downtown Detroit and the rising rents that are coming along with it. Do you think we'll hear more stories like this one?
Well, it's possible. What baffles me is that section of Broadway where Henry the Hatter is has about nothing there. And I'm not quite sure what the landlord plans to have go in there. It's also not quite clear whether this was in fact a dispute about rent or something else. But at any rate, this will probably be good publicity for Henry the Hatter. You'll probably get another good, convenient location. And it may amount to sort of free advertising. But this is sort of a problem Detroit would have given a lot to have a few years ago, if in fact the downtown and the midtown areas are booming and rents are going up. But again, this man was an iconic retailer. He's been there since the 19th century. He's been in that same location for 65 years, and you would think there would be some consideration for that. But at any rate, I foresee good times for Henry the Hatter, and this is a symptom of, at least for now, good times for downtown Detroit.
All right, Jack. Well, I hope you have some good times this weekend.
Keep your hat on, Rebecca.
All right. Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.